All our sauce of Ischav, yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's go over both sides. We're up to Sif Lamed Beis. Sif Lamed Beis is a corollary of some things we've had earlier. Remember we said if you find it on a part of her body or a part of her clothing that cannot possibly be Keneged Oso Mako, then there's no Tomas Ksamen because it can't be. So likewise, if you find it on any random thing in her house that can't possibly be Keneged Oso Mako, then there's no Tomas Ksamen. But how do you know? So that's Lamed Beis. Ha'isha she'ahayso sekes b'mlachta v'nimtza dam b'makom she'avra al davar she'u badu b'tchila. If a woman was just working in the house, and then she finds dam in some place she passed by, on a kind of thing that would be tamei, which means it was, she checked and she knew it used to be clean, and it's something about Batoma, and it would have to be something white. Tachzer, but she doesn't know if that's someplace which could be Keneged Oso Mako or not. And how could she tell? Because it's just a random, you know, item in her house. Tachzer, the Satsik Moshe Asa, she should go back and retrace her steps and, like, Ke'ilu, do that thing again, but paying attention. So she should do it again and pay attention if it turns out that Oso Mako was over that place where she found the dam, then she's tamei. So that's a place where it could have fallen. And if it turns out that no, she does the exact same thing as before, and she sees that place was never any place where dam nida could have fallen, then she's tahora. Lamed Gimel. Ha'isha shabad ka'atzma. Basically, as we might have noticed, Lamed Gimel through, let's say, Lamed Tes are all about cases of a bedika, or later on we'll go back to Ksamen, but here we're talking about a bedika, where there could be another source, could or couldn't be another source for the blood. So let's start with Lamed Gimel. Ha'isha shabad ka'atzma be'ed ha'bodok la, a woman who checks herself with an aid that she knew was clean beforehand, like people, women generally do when they check, they use very clean things. B'nimtza alav afilu tibkechar, don't she found even a tiny drop of blood, Bang ogul bang mashuch, whether it is round or oblong, because we'll see later on. Generally, when you're wiping, it's more likely the stain will be oblong. But no matter what, tameya, she is tameya, meaning there's no din of pachas mika gris. In a bedika, even a kolshu is tameh. This is 2 days from tomorrow. Even if there actually is a squished louse there, nonetheless, she's tameya. What's the principle here? The Gemara has 2 deos. The Gemara has 2 deos about a bedika where she did a bedika ba'usa makom. The Gemara says you can't tola in a louse. There are 2 deos. Either it's osa makom is badukla or dachukla. Either there are never lice in that part of the, in that exact part of the body. Or, like, there's no room for a louse, you know, unless it would be, like, squished, like, right there. So the nafkamina is what you can find a squished louse. If you say there's never any lice, then she's still tomato. The squished louse must have been fallen from someplace else, would be coincidence. And that's how we paskin. We paskin oso makom, what's called badukla. That place, we're sure. It's as if we checked it, and we're sure there's no lice there, because there's never lice in there. And therefore, there's no heter pachmik and gris. In a bedika, even a tiny amount of blood is tamei, and even if she finds a squished louse, it must be that the squished louse fell on the cloth afterwards. But it couldn't have been boso makom, because there can never be lice there. And that's how we paskin. And that's why there's no ending of size of a gris, etc. for bedikas. V'chein ha'ding shebad go bo v'nichato b'kufsa v'achar shah bad go so v'nimtza l'avdam kolshu v'in mashu v'in ogel tamei. The same applies if she checked with an aid, and then put it in a box, right? Putting it in a box, like, it is a safe place where nothing could have happened to it, right? She checked with the aid, and then she put it in a box. Even if she finds the tiniest amount, she's tmeya, because how could it have squished any lice? Sitting in a box, it can't squish lice, and there's no lice also bakum, and it was she knew it was clean beforehand, therefore it's mukhrach that it is dam nida. Okay, that is pretty straightforward. The Tosfos brings down different opinions about what if, instead of leaving it in a box, she left it just lying on a table, and then she found some blood on it. Do we say, well, lying on the table, maybe the blood came from someplace else? Or no, couldn't have squished lice lying on the table. You have to like squish, you have to press in order to squish lice. So that's not exactly clear. Tosos sounds like there's a machlokas about it, but in the Torah is pretty clear, even though here there's a long taz of trying to figure out exactly what his lashon means. But the Torah says if she left it sitting there, or she put it in a box, and the Beis Yosef assumes that means that just sitting on the table is the same as being in a box, meaning it couldn't have squished any lice, and therefore that's how we paskin, that if she did a bedika, whether she put it in a box afterward before she checked it, or before she looked at it, or she just left it on the table, on the nightstand or something before she checked it, since there are no lice there, therefore, and, I mean, even if there were, they would have just crawled around and wouldn't have gotten squished. Therefore, she is Tameya even in a smallest amount of dam. Okay, Lamed Dalet. Lamed Dalet gets into this. Lamed Dalet gives us a Gemara later on, Vodka Atzma V'Eid HaBadukla, V'Nichita Tachat Hakar O Tachat HaKesen. She checked with an aid that was beforehand, it was Badukla. She knew it was clean before she did a bedika. She did a bedika, but after the bedika, let's say it was late at night, it was dark, and she couldn't check it, so she put it under her mattress or her pillow, and ulamachan intzal adam, and then she finds blood on it tomorrow. So now, obviously, putting it under her mattress, etc., that could have squished the louse because it was not sitting in a box or even lying on a table. It had pressure. It was a place where lice walk around and could have been squished. So here, this is an interesting case. On the one hand, it's some place which could have squished a louse. On the other hand, she did a bedika with it. So what's the din? So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, im, and this is a pretty enforced Gemara, im moshuch temeya. If the blood is oblong, then she's tameya shechaz kaso meyakinuach, because generally when you wipe, the stain will come out not round, but long, because you wipe with a motion. You move it while you wipe. Vim ugl, but if it is round, the ainbo kagrisva od, and is smaller than a kagrisva od, meaning it's a kagrisva or less, tehora, she'ein ze'el dam achol sh'ner tach zakar, then she can assume that it is a louse that was under the mattress or whatever, under anything. It's the same idea. I assume the same would be if she just put it on her bed because she rolls over it all night. And we assume it is from a louse.
Would that sound like this?
Ah, so good question. So you need, let's, before we see if you paskin like it, let's just mention one or two details, and then I'll answer Benny's question of whether we paskin like it. So first of all, the Shach points out here, Sivkat Membeis, we never heard until now, right? This is the 34th Se'if. Did we ever hear there's a difference between oblong and round? Right? Did we ever hear that we say, well, if it was a louse, it would have been round, because when you squish something, it spreads in all directions? No, we never differentiated. The Shach points out that when it comes to a kesem, like a stam kesem, we don't differentiate. We can be told at any shape. Remember, I even gave you a piece of paper with all different shapes. We can be told at any shape a kesem if it's less than a kugrisva od in a louse. It's only in this case when you did a bedika. Then we differentiate between mashma and ugl. It's more chomer because you actually did a bedika, so there's a very strong reason to think that it was dam nida. So that's one important point. The Ramah adds, "Who adenim who yosim et kugris v'yishmakum litlos bo'ok emotion is bar le'el be'izah davar talinan kesem." Likewise, even if it's more than a gris, but you have some other good tliya, then you can also use a tliya. If you know in a stam bedika, you can't do a tliya unless it's a makom oso makom. But if you left it on your bed or you know someplace where it's touching all kinds of other things, if you have some good tliya, then you can likewise be tola, even if it's more than a gris. If that tliya is a tliya of a large amount. Now, why why do we have this principle of tliya? Basically, what do we see here? We see here that just like there's a rule of tliya, just like there's a rule of tliya for ksamim, there's also a rule of tliya for bedikos. Normally, you wouldn't have a tliya for a bedika because you use a clean cloth. You only put it by osamakom, and then you check it afterwards. So normally, the only tliya would be a tliya b'makom osamakom, which is what we discuss in Kaf Pei Zayin. But if you put it someplace where it could have gotten dirty afterwards, like tachzakara, tachzakeses, then there could be other tliyos as well. Why do we make tliyos in this case? So the Tazir points out, and he says it again a little later. He says, he has a phrase here, it's Mekan Chav Gimel, De'en kan safik d'oreise, keim shalur hargisha b'dam min ha-mokor. Because there's no hargasha. If there would be a hargasha, then we would not make it tliya. But since there was no hargasha, then we can make it tliya. The Chavos Das, and I think Mekan Chav Zayin, a little later in this simon, points out that even though every time you do bedika, it's a safik hargasha, every bedika could be a hargasha, right? Because we said there could be hargasha that was just masked by the feeling of bedika, but there wasn't necessarily a hargasha. So what do we say? We say if you do bedika and you're sure that it's damida, then we assume there was a hargasha. But if you do bedika, there's a tliya, and you're not sure if it's damida or not, then we don't necessarily assume there was a hargasha because maybe it wasn't damida, and therefore it is not a. We don't treat it like an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, if there's a good tliya, it could have been damnido, but it could have been something else, like a 50-50 good tliya, then we are mako. That's the basic principle. Even in a bedika, we're mako. Why? If it's a shash hargasha? Because we don't know there was a hargasha. You know, it's a little circular. If this really was damnido, it must have come out with a hargasha, and you didn't notice because you were doing the bedika. But if it wasn't damnido, then it didn't come out with a hargasha. And therefore, since we only know that you had a hargasha if we know it's damnido. But at first we're asking the question, is it damnida or not? Then we say safek lekula, and we assume it wasn't damnida, and we are mako. The only thing is that we're more restrictive about what tliyas are available. Right? The ikarbon you can do a tliya. But what kind of tliya can you do? What kind of tliya can you have in a bedika as opposed to a tliya? In a bedika. So, what do we say here? We say here that if it was not basically hefker, let's say. All right. I don't want to commit myself. If it was baduk, and then if it was clean, and then you did a bedika, and then you checked it right away, then there's no room for tli on anything, even a macholes, right? Because it's baduk, osa macholes is baduk. Then if it's clean and you did bedika and you checked it right away, then there's no tlios because osa macholes baduku etzel macholes. There's no life osa macholes except for a maka, but also makom, which is not going to appear in this simon at all because that was taken care of in simon Kaf Pei Zayin. However, if you say no, it was clean, and then you did a bedika, and then you put it tachas hakar v'chuli, then you put it someplace where it could be exposed to other dirt, not in a box or on a clean table where like there was nothing going on there, but someplace where it could be exposed to dirt. Then you can be tola. What kind of tliya can you be tola on? Then, give me a second. Then you can be tola on a tliya. One example, the Taz says, is on hemorrhoids. That's his example. Regila hotzidam der pesarei. If she has hemorrhoids and she did a bedika, and let's say she accidentally like moved a little too far back and touched someplace where there would be blood if the hemorrhoids were bleeding,
then she could do a tliya on the hemorrhoid. The general assumption is, just like we saw, can be tola on, but the assumption is that the old Yachronim point out, you can find this, for example, in the Chavos Das in the back here, can be tola on a good tliya, not a scabbed over cut. Remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva would pull a ksamen on a stabbed. Okay, that's ksamen, because you didn't do b'dika losamakam. Ksamen, we go all out and we're totally even on things very unlikely. But when it comes to a b'dika that you then left exposed, you can be told on a good tliya, but not on a bad tliya. That's what's found in the Chavos Das in the back here. Maybe I will read it to you. It is an important episode. Says the Chavos Das. One second. After Makash Chayisa, this is the Chavos Das of Kut Yud Ches. I'm reading beneath Daf Nun Ches. That's Dim Yochel Galil Holtz Dam Tahor Mishen Dam Arachon Lo Kesem. Master the Dam Gomer Ain Otola Afi Cholul Higalea. Right? It sounds like only a Kesem you can be tola on a scabbed up wound, but you can't be tola a Bedika cloth. Haim Dav Kav Makash Chayisa Lo Shchiya Shetikalea Mishem Hakiim Tola Rak Bekesem Dorish A Rogel Holtz Dam. Dino Kamakshi Adushim Otzi Adam, Vim Kino Filum Shas Vesta, Tolaba. Okay, on a good, that's what he says. He says that this has, who says you told on hemorrhoids, like a Maka Shiyadua Shem Otzi Adam, you could be told that on good, just like Kabri Zayin, you could be told on a good Tliya, Makshi Adushim Otzi Adam. Like right here, you could be told on a good Tliya. So for example, if she left it in her bed, and she has a maka that's bleeding on her arm, then she can be told on it, but she can't be told on a fara tliya. How about, Bini asked, I never got back to Bini yet, about macholes, right? Can be tole on a macholes if, when can you be told on a macholes if you have two conditions, right? If it's pachos mikigris the ode, and it is ugle, right? Not moshav. We can be told on a macholas. So, one second.
That's by. It's the same for some mikos.
That well
for a macholas.
Ah, so it's not the same. It needs to be. The shach says it needs to be ugle. Like some, and it doesn't matter if it's ugle or moshav. Right, so far we have two. So far we have two chumras. Give me half a second. Okay. I was looking for one thing. Fine. Okay. So what do we see are two differences? Here is one chumra of bedika compared to Kesem, is that you can only be tola on a strong tliya. Maki Yudusha will see a dam, not on the weak tliya. This is the second chumra. If you want to be tola on a louse, you can only be tola around Kesem, not an oblong Kesem. Bini asked, and I think a very, very good question, this whole tliya on a louse thing, is that true even nowadays? What did Bini mean to say? Granted by a kesem. Kesem is entirely invented by the Rabbanim, right? Because there was for sure no hargasha. And therefore, they made excessive kulas when it comes to ksamim. So for those great, big kulas that happen, okay, the ksamim, one of the kulas was, you can always make a long, less than a kagrisba ode, you know, regardless of whether or not you really have lice in the face. But over here, where there was a bedika, you know, if you don't really have lice, then the stomach was from osamakom. It was from osamakom. The stomach came with hargasha, shashta raisa. So would we make a, in bedikas also be tola in lice even nowadays? Right? Good question. So that is question is answered. It's actually a little later in the Shulchan Aruch, but in Pesach Shuv, it's called Mem Korin Chasam Sofer. So Pesach Shuv, yes?
Is there a difference of when this Bedikah is done?
No.
Anytime you do this?
Yeah, there is a discussion in the Pesach Shuv about being told in the first, well, on the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, but we'll get to that in some Kof Tzadik Vav. Yeah?
Anytime it's inside of her, could be Hargasha.
So we have to be choshish
for that. Right, so we have to be choshish for Hargasha. So nonetheless, if she is a good Tliya, we'll say, yeah, there probably wasn't a Hargasha. But if there's certainly a shash, you can't say there's no shash with no rice here. Yes, F.
Is the din by the putting into the pillow, at least before we get down to this, with the Lecha Kiva begin with, meaning, I wonder why anyone would do this other than two.
No, this is, well, you have to think about it this way. If she's halachically obligated to do bedika, then she's halachically obligated to check it without letting it get dirty first. Obviously, that's part of bedika. She's halachically obligated to either check it right away or put it in a box or someplace safe. Right. Obviously, she shouldn't put it under the car. What's the case of under the car? Either she wasn't obligated to do a halachic bedika, but wiped herself out anyway for some personal reason and then left it under the car. Or she was halachically obligated to do bedika, and she messed up, and she put it under the car when she shouldn't have.
Would it be a great, out for someone?
Right, but that's clearly, you're not, you don't see your chiyuv doing the bedika by putting it someplace where it can get dirty afterwards. I think that's just an obvious common sense.
I mean, we discussed it before, but the likelihood of having Hargasha the 1 second a day to do bedika is, basically impossible.
Aha, so
it's one in
the problem is the Rambam writes this. The Rambam writes, any dam you find with the bedika in the prose door, okay, the Mekobel the same, the Rambam held, and that's what we assume the prose door is, the vaginal canal going inside. Any bedika, any dam you find in the prose door, it says, Hazaka, it came with Hargasha, even if you didn't notice, even if you just felt the Hargasha of the eight.
Right,
so therefore, since the Rambam says we assume it came by Hargasha, we assume it came by Hargasha if you found the dam inside. The only tricky part is, if you don't know if you found the dam inside or not, you also put it under the pillow, or might have been a louse, then we can be more makel, because we don't know if Chazak knew it was a Hargasha.
Right, but I think it's okay to assume that there was a Hargasha you didn't feel throughout the day, but to assume that the Hargasha came when you're in the Bedikah.
Okay,
that's not a shash that you should be choshish for, as far as anything goes.
I hear your taina. I don't really know how to have a common sense opinion about it, because I don't. It's hard to personally relate. But nonetheless, the Rambam writes that, and we're machmer that way. So here, what did the Chasam Sofer say in Sukkot Mem? He says that it makes a lot of sense. He says when you have a pure kesem that was not a bedikah at all, then we have all these formal kulas, like less than a gris. But over here, it's a bedikah. When you're talking about a tlina bedikah, they didn't make these tons of formal kulas. No one says in a bedikah that a heter v'ehim a kabel tumah. No, we don't have all these kulas in bedikahs. These kulas are for ksamim. In bedikahs, the only kula is a logical tlia. A logical tlia is different. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer said, remember how on the board, his days and nowadays, the way the Chasam Sofer writes in his days is, therefore, we can't be told up to a gris and a louse, only the size of our modern lice, our 19th century lice. Nowadays, it wouldn't apply at all. So says the Chasam Sofer, and this is how we assume, nowadays, you can't be told on a ma'acholas at all. A kesem you can, because a kesem was only a new takana darban they made without any basis in the Torah. That's not any shasha of a doraisa. So the exer of ksamim, they only made it more than a kigris, whether it's Sofer's way or it was Moshe's way, etc. But this is the third, I guess. The third chora is that a kesem you can be tola on a ma'acholas even if there are no lice. Right, whether that's some Sofer's logic or Moshe's logic or the Mil Tzedakah, everything he had on the board a few years ago. However, a bedika, you can only be told on something real, not on something that used to exist thousands of years ago. And therefore, nowadays, all these parts of the Shulchan Aruch, the next few Se'ifim, about less than a kegris on a bedika, are irrelevant. Don't exist anymore. Nowadays, to be told a bedika, it has to be something real, not something from thousands of years ago. So it could be, for example, you could have something, let's say a woman says, I don't know, she did a bdika, but her nail polish was still wet. And then you find a little bit of red, and it was red nail polish. Okay, then that's a real tliya. I mean, if you can tell whether, remember we said tsefa, sometimes you can tell. Let's say your mom, she can't tell. That's a real tliya. Or whatever, she had a maka ba'usomako. Or she had a real mark on her body, not one that was scabbed up, and she just like left it lying around and sat on it and it rolled over, etc. But it's pretty rare, as you can imagine, it's pretty rare to have a tliya and b'dikas nowadays, because other than a maka b'osamakam, seven kofei zayin, because A, usually we take a clean cloth, do a b'dika, and look at it right away. We have electric lights, they look at it right away, and they don't leave it lying around someplace. And B, if they did leave it lying around someplace, nowadays, we don't have lice, so the whole tliya of lice doesn't apply, and you don't usually have a different tliya.
What does Chassam Sofer mean when he says, Nei din kesem yishol, in this
Kachman? Where are we? What words are you quoting?
Towards the end, when he says, Rek for mikol makom, yidish shvigol enothik, vein entire look.
So, Nei din kesem I'm not sure exactly what he means. I think what he means, granted that it's like a kesem in that it's a possibility of tliyas, granted that it's like a kesem that you could be told on lice, but only the lice you have nowadays, not the lice in the old days.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't mean literally. One thing I have to add. How about if there's a different tliya? If there's a different tliya, do we still distinguish between mashuch and ugul? So that's discussed in the Rashba and in the Tazlik and Chakimel. That can you be told on a different good tliya? So explains the Taz. He says, well, only if it's ugul, not if it's mashuch. If it's mashuch, that is evidence that it came from the hadika, because you were wiping with a, you know, moving motion. Unless the tliya also is wiping, because it's equally likely to be mashuch. So let me just add here. Can be told on a good tliya. If the stain is ugul, or the tliya was a wiping, like the Tazlik's case, you might have wiped out the dam of hemorrhoids. So, if the tliya was something mashuch and it's mamish 50-50, the tliya was something that would be mashuch, would be oblong, and the dam nida would be oblong, then you could be told about a good tliya. However, if the tliya is something which is more likely to be ugul, not 100%, but somewhat likely to be ugul, and the dam nida was something more likely to be mashuch, and it was mashuch, then you cannot be told. So this idea that we distinguish between ugul and mashuch is not only for lice, it's for all tliyas. Any tliya you want to make after bdika, that the tliya would be more likely to come out round, and the dam nida would be more likely to come out oblong, and you see that it's oblong, you can't be tola. If you see that it's round, you can't be tola. So those are the three chumras of tliyas, of the three chumras we have, tliyos of bedikas, compared to tliyos of ksamen. Number one, you need a strong, not a far out possibility. With number two, if it's oblong, you can't be tola, unless the tliya is also something oblong, like wiping hemorrhoids versus wiping da nida. And number three, you can't use things that just existed a few years ago. It has to be something that really exists nowadays. So you can't be tola on lice anymore, and therefore ignore all the parts of gris in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, there's another interesting discussion in the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkat and Lamed Tes, which is very fascinating, which is, How about b'shas vesta? Can you do a tliya b'shas vesta? The Taz says that you can't be tole b'shas vesta. Right? Tole b'shalo b'shas vesta. The Taz says you can't be tole b'shas vesta. And the Chavos Das, when Pesachei Tshuva says you can be tole even b'shas vesta. So that's an interesting focus.
On anything? Or?
Give me a second. Can you be tole b'shas vesta? No, he's talking about tole b'maka, right? B'shas vesta. So the Taz says no. The Chavos Das says yes. What's the base of the machlokes? You remember from Kuf Beis Zayin, he said before she can't be tole b'maka b'shas vesta. So that's what the Taz says, because we know in Kuf Beis Zayin you can't be tole b'maka b'shas vesta. What does the Chavos Das say back? Doesn't say what he says back. Here, we have to open up, flip pages to find the actual Chavos Das. But what he says back is, no, you don't understand the reason. What was the reason? What was the reason that you can't be told b'maka b'shas vesta? Because then she'll never be a nida. That's ridiculous and absurd. That's only a maka b'oso mako. A maka in the uterus. That you can't be told b'shas vesta, because then she'll never be a nida. That's ridiculous and absurd. But a mock of the hemorrhoids, of course you can be told b'shas vesta. How will she ever be a nida? She'll ever be a nida if you do a bedika and don't touch the hemorrhoids, and then you'll see whether she's a nida or not. So, everyone agrees with the Taz. Everyone agrees with Chavos Das, because that seems to fit the same Kuf Pei Zayin. Like in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, says, no, that was only for a maka but also mako, because of imkain lo tetame liolo. Chavos Das says the part of Taz is not part of the Taz. Well, her vesis, it's likely she has her period, so we can't be tola. Chavos Das says, no, that's not how it works. She's still with Hechazkes Heter. Vestor Sokarabon. The only reason we can't be told in her Veses is if the Mach is Ba'oso Mako, we can't be told in her Veses, because then she'll never be a Nida. And how could she never be a Nida? But if the Mach is in a different part of her body, of course we can be told in Shas Vesta. She'll be a Nida when she does a Bedika, only in the right part of the body, without touching other parts of the body, and she'll check if she's a Nida or not. And everyone agrees with the Chavos Das here. Not that I'm not convinced this will ever come up, but Lamaisa, everyone agrees with Chavos Das. That matches what they say in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. Okay, now let's try to run through some of these other things. Lamed Hey. Bodka atzma ve'ed ha-bodakla ve'tachato bi-recha ulumachar nimtza alavdam. Okay, here it gets a little tricky because no one's sure what the case in the Gemara is. The Gemara talks about how she checks herself with an aid that's bodakla, meaning a clean aid. But after checking herself, she squishes it, right? Tacha is really to squish. She squishes it against her thigh. And then she finds blood. According to the Shulchan Aruch, where did she find blood? Where did she find the blood, according to the Shulchan Aruch? Who's quoting? Guess which the Lashon of which Rishon the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. That should be an easy guess. The Rama. The Shulchan Aruch usually quotes the Lashon of Rama. You have a roof on your side. Okay, and the Ravina Hanan is the same. According to the Shulchan Aruch, where did she find the blood? She did a bedika with a clean. She checked the cloth was clean. Did a bedika, then for some reason squished it on her thigh. I'm not sure why. Maybe she slipped or something, you know. And then she found blood. Where did she find blood? On the cloth. How do we know she found blood on the cloth and not on her thigh? Lashon Zachar. It says very good. It says nimtza alav dam. An aid is Lashon Zachar. What's a yerech? But a yerech is Lashon. Why is the Yerech Lashon Keva? Because it's a body part that comes in pairs. Very good. Okay, so you have to know a little dictum. Of course, the dictum only gets you that far because Rashi seems to have had the Gersa of Aleha. In which case, that would totally change everything, which about that long shot discussion that we'll get to soon. But for now, we're sticking with the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to count Rishonim. It's very hard to count Rishonim because Rishonim are analyzing other Rishonim. We assume, like the Mechaber, like the Gersa of the Rambam and the Rach, that she found a love. She found on the aid. What's the suffix? On the one hand, she did a bedika and found blood on the aid. On the other hand, she squished it against her thigh. Maybe, after all, everyone has lice crawling all over them all the time. Again, we wouldn't apply this nowadays. That's some sufferings have gotten men. But in the old days, maybe she squished a louse on her thigh. So what's the din? Im mashuch tmeya filo b'kolshu. If it's oblong, it's tmeya. Because we know oblong, you can't be told on a louse. The ugle tahor name of crystal ode, if it's ugle and if less than crystal ode, you can be told on the louse, just like under the car of the keset. The same thing for squishing on your thigh. The yesh omrim shaf ugle tahor name kol shehu. But yesh omrim, that this is more chomer. Why would this be more chomer than putting it under your mattress? Common sense. What?
If you put it against the part that the dam can then fall?
That's a vart, but I don't think... I hear the taina, but I thought there was a different reason.
More like on the person's body than under the pillow.
No, then that would be the wrong way. Then this would be more... this would be more cow.
Right. There,
yeah, I thought... Okay.
Because you did it right away?
I thought because you put it under the pillow, it sits under the pillow and blanket for a long time, you're rolling back and forth all night. So then it's more... Here, you squish it for 1 second against your thigh... You know, it seems in common sense, like, what are the odds that in that 1 second you hit a louse? Okay, that's what I thought. It opens different theories. The Rambam doesn't say. He just writes a code of law. He doesn't explain why. But here's the question. The question is whether tachto b'yurecha is, again, none of this applies nowadays, right? Nowadays, we can erase this if from the Shulchan Aruch. Although, you know, okay, maybe Yesh La'ayim, there could be some parallel, but clearly this exact sif. Here, tachta, tacha, to, right? It's b'yurecha. So, the first day in the Shulchan Aruch is the opinion of Rov Rishonim, right? Rashi, Ravid, Ramban, Rashba, you know, Rashi actually is a different scenario, but let's grant it for this. Say that tahor, if it's ugle and pachos mi kegris v'od, just like tachas hakar and tachas hakeses. However, the Rambam says, no, always tummy. Always tummy. He said, no, this is more chomer than tachas hakar, according to the Rambam. How do you paskin? How would you think the Mechaber paskins? Based on the rules of Psak? Stam and Yesh Omrin. So he should paskin like the Stam. However, and as a matter of fact, the Taz says, for sure we have to paskin like the Stam. Because the Taz says, you know why the Rambam was Machber? Because what's the Chash? Either it came from the Bedika or it came from a thigh. Well, remember the Rambam Shita, that on your skin there's no heter less than the Grisva Ode? So, of course, we might have suffered no heter for the Rambam. If it came from the Vedika Boso Malkam, she's Tmei. If it came from her thigh, any blood on her thigh is Tmei, even less than the Grisva work the Rambam. But we don't pass like the Rambam, so we shouldn't pass it like him. So, two reasons. So number one, he's a minority Shita, Yes Omrim. Number two, maybe the Rambam Svara. What's the Svara? Why? So, says the Taz, Lishitasei. Digam al hayerech tamei bepachos miki grisva owned. Right? Because that's the sheet of the Rambam. We don't pass it like that. However, the Bach and the Shach says, nope, says, even for us, this is chomer because it's unlikely, I'm adding this, to be a louse. Okay, or you could say whatever plot you want. Right, that the Bach quotes the Shachos of the Bach, or Pasach HaBach Ke Ish Omrim, we paskin like the Ish Omrim. Again, not that it applies to Zanazah. We paskin like the Ish Omrim. Then obviously we assume he's not the Shetaseh. We're not only paskin like the Ish Omrim because on the thigh would also be also Bekulshu. Because we paskin on the thigh, there's a heter of Pachim Kigrisma Ode. We pass like the Shomrim just because, come on, you did a B'dikah Boso Makom, and you touched it on your thigh once. What? Are those even likelihood that you squished the louse on your thigh and that you found blood in the B'dikah? No, I'm a stomach from the B'dikah.
But she checked it.
What?
But didn't she check it once?
She checked it before the B'dikah, and then she did a B'dikah, and yeah, she checked it after the B'dikah, no problem.
The Taz is a
Girsa of Aleha? Did I say that the Taz is Girsa of Aleha?
But if the Taz is something, if we pass like the realm, that Papa's Magirsa is to me, even on her body, but she didn't find it.
No, but he means like this. Where did the blood come to the aid from? Two possibilities. Number one, from Oso Makom.
Maybe there was a louse.
Or number two, from her leg.
A louse on her leg.
But the whole point is, according to the Rambam, we don't think there's a louse on her leg. That's the whole sheet of the Rambam, that if she finds blood on her leg, she doesn't attribute to a louse. The whole sheet of the Rambam is that you don't assume there's a louse on her leg.
That's his whole shita.
But wasn't that one understanding of Rambam? The other understanding is that, like, where do you find
Okay, you're right. The truth is the Achronim here go to town as to trying to be indict various things in the Rambam from this Taz. The truth is, I was oversimplifying. The Achronim have long essays here exactly what you indict from this Taz about the Rambam shita earlier. And you're right, it's not so pashut, but we'll leave it at that. You're absolutely right. Needs more Ion, but we're not going to Ion right now. So let's go weiter. Lamed Vav. Bodka atzma be'eche eno bodkla. Okay, here's the opposite. Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey. Let's review cases. Lamed Gimel was no possibility of Tliya before the Bedika, no possibility after the Bedika. Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey were no possibility of Tliya before the Bedika. It was clean before the Bedika, but a possibility of Tliya after the Bedika. Lamed Vav is going to be the opposite. No possibility of Tliya after the Bedika, but a possibility before the Bedika. So basically, if here you have, is there a possible contamination? By the way, I'm not saying halacha or lumbus here. I'm just giving the structure of the machaber. Before the bedika, after the bedika. So no and no is sif lamed gimel. No and yes is sif lamed dalet lamed hey. That's what we just learned. Yes and no is if lamed vav. Lamed vav. Afterwards, she kept it someplace safe, but beforehand it could have gotten dirty. And, of course, the last possibility, yes and yes, is if lamed zayin, and then lamed ches just goes back and fills in a detail. So let's go to lamed vav. Batka asim ve'echein abadikla, afilu hini chata shamor b'tevasa. She checked herself with an aid, but the aid was not, she didn't check the aid before she used it. She doesn't know if the aid was clean or not before she used it. She used a possibly dirty aid. She did a bedika, obviously the foolish thing to do. She did a bedika, and even if afterwards she left it locked up in a box, but it could have been contaminated before, it must all them, she finds dam. The answer is, Temeya im yesh baku grisva od. Okay, the parentheses don't change anything. And it's temeya elim yesh baku grisva od. Same exact thing. Right, so she could be tola in a louse is the basic. She can be tola in a louse in is the basic of vart. One second, yes. Here it is actually a... Machlokes Aposkin. This is a big sugya called Eichin Obaduk. Eichin Obaduk, one thing the Gemara says for sure is Eichin Obaduk. Let's make ourselves Eid She'ein Obaduk. One thing the Gemara says is Pashut. If it's Pachos Mikibris Ve'od, if she is Tahora, that's Pashut in the Gemara, that's not Nitan to any Machlokas. Of course, that wouldn't apply to Zmanazeh. Right? We'll add that some so far. Not Zmanazeh. What's the interesting question? The interesting question is, and that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? That if it implies, if it's less than Kegrisva, oh, she's Tahora. That's not controversial in the Gemara, even though it wouldn't apply to Zmanazeh. What is controversial in the Gemara, which would apply to Zmanazeh? How about bigger than a kagris, or in the Gemara's language, it's a kagrisva ode. What if it's bigger than a kagris? Then there are two different sugyas about this, right? What are the two sugyas? One sugya is on daf yodalit. There's a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Let me just find daf yodalit. What does the Gemara say? Sorry, give me a second. Bodka be'eching o bodikla, etc. Kol yomav shomer b'chia time la'isuk noso tiher, etc. And they say what it means is that Rebbe says tmei mishum nidav, Rav Chia mar tmei mishum kesem. Okay, godel mikigris. So on daf yud dalid, at the end of an aleph to the top of the vase, Rebbe says, Tamei Anida, and Rav Chiya says, Tmeya Mishum Kesem. Okay, Nida versus Kesem. That's on Daf Yud Dalet. However, the Gemara quotes this later as well. The Gemara says later on in Perek Ha'isha Shehi Osa Tzracheha, meaning a woman who finds Dam in the Meiraglayim. They have a machlokis there between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi as to whether she's Tmeya or Tahora. And Reb Meir says Tmeya, and Reb Yossi says Tahora, and they say Reb Meir is like Rebbe, and Reb Yossi is like Reb Chiya. But Reb Yossi there says Tahora. So, on Daf Nun Tesimid Beis, in a case the Gemara compares, the Gemara compares these two cases. The Gemara says, the Kshetima Rebbe Karebi Meir. Okshatir li atzma, okshatir Reb Yossi. A little earlier, it's on Daf Yud Dalet and Beis. The Gemara compares them. The Gemara says, "My Rebbe, my Reb Yossi. Tani Rebbe mitami, Reb Yossi mitahir." Okay, that's good enough. Reb Yossi mitahir.
Here, you know, let's even put it. We don't have to go to the Tanis and Beis. Daf Yud Dalet on the Beis. Reb Yossi Mitahir
against Rebbe. The question is, what's Rav Yossi Shita? What does Rav Yossi mean when he is Mitahir? So, the simple shot is, he's Mitahir Mamish. Rav Yossi Mitahir. As Tosa says, Nira Dilagamri Mitahir. Nira Dilagamri Mitahir. But, the Rabbi Nachmanano says, Rav Yossi Lav Lagamre Mitahir. He means that he holds like Rav Chiya that it's not Tumas Nida, it's only Tumas Kesem. It's not D'oraisa, it's only D'rabbanan. So here we're not sure what he meant. Says Tosos and most Rishonim. Rov Rishonim say Tehora Mamish. The Rabbi Yochananel says that Mitahir just means it's Tumas Kesem D'rabbanan instead of Tumas Nida D'oraisa. Okay, so we have up to three shitas in Tanar. Rebbe says Tumas Nida, Rav Chiya says Tumas Kesem, Rav Yossi, according to Rechanan, also means Tumas Kesem, but according to most Rishonim, means Tahora Mamish. So, how did Rishonim paskin? So here, it's not so clear. The Rambam paskins. The Rambam paskins like Rebbe. Let's go to Rishonim. Rambam paskins like Rebbe. The Rosh paskins like Rav Chiya. And the Rosh uses the Rav Chanan, the Rav Yossi is like Rav Chiya. The Ravid, it's not so clear. He's definitely posking that it's Usser. Right? He doesn't really differentiate between Rav Chiya and Rebbe. So I'll say the Ravid, Paskin's like Rav Chiya and Rebbe. You know, he doesn't care if it's Kesem or Nida, because nowadays there's no difference between Tumah D'oraisa and Tumah D'rabbanan. We don't have you know, Kachim and Taros, etc. Most Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So, for example, the
Razad, that's the Balmor, and the Rambam, and the Rashba,
Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, that is the Machlokes Rishonim. Do we say, Eino Baduk? No, you know what? If you didn't know that you use a clean cloth, then anything goes. And you know, we can't, then you got to be Tahor, because who knows what could have been on that cloth? Or do we say, no, you didn't check the cloth first? But Menastan, people generally use clean things. After all, we don't know that it got dirty. We don't know that it was clean. We don't know that it was dirty. And therefore, we have to assume that, like Rav Chiya, that Safek, it might have come from you, or even like Rebbe,
no, stam things are clean until proven otherwise. And right, the Rambam passed like Rebbe, stam cloths are clean until proven otherwise. So we're sure it was from you. The Rosh passed like Rechia, it might have been from you. And the Razah and the Ramban and the Rashba passed like Rabbi Yossi, like Hipshuto, that he says to Hora and Daf Yudalam Beis, which is a quote from Daf Nuntesim Beis. And we say, come on, who knows where it could have come from? There's so many ways it could have gotten dirty. It's more likely that it got dirty from someplace else and not from you, and that's a strong plea. How do we paskin? So the problem is that since they were going against Rabbeinu Hanano, there's a general mahalach in the Rishonei Sfarad. Whenever they're going against Rabbeinu Hanano and other Rishonei Yud Rabbeinu Hanano, they're always nervous to paskin the mice against Rabbeinu Hanano. Rishonei Sfarad are in general nervous to paskin. They have no problem saying Rabbeinu Hanano is dead wrong and we can learn better than he did. But when push comes to shove and psak as opposed to limud, the Rishonei Sfarad are usually nervous to pass against Rabbeinu Hanano. They have a phrase, the Dvar Divrei Kabbalah. What do they mean by that? What they mean is that he had a Masorah from the Gaonim. He didn't live in Bavel. But he was like the first generation of Gedolim outside of Bavel. And he had a strong Masorah from the Gaonim. And therefore, they're nervous to pass against him. Beis Yosef quotes that they were nervous lamaisa to go against him. So if they're nervous lamaisa to go against him, they were also nervous lamaisa to go against him. And that's why we paskin like Rav Chia or Rebbe and not like Rav Yossi Kipshuto. It doesn't matter if we pass like Rav Chia or Rebbe. Meaning, either way, it's usher. The Nafkaminas are only in the old days when you burn the Truma, etc. So lamaisa, and let's just see, that's what we just said in the Shulchan Aruch. What did we just say in the Shulchan Aruch? Tameya engaged book a gris va'od. We paskin. If it's more than a gris, it's Tameya. Even though it's an Eichon Abaduk, still, there's at least a high chance, if not a likelihood, that the dam came from the Vedika. And that's what we paskin halacha le maisa. If a woman does a Vedika, but she's not sure if the cloth was clean first, then she's still Tameya if she finds blood. Sam. That was the Rach. That was Rabbeinu Hanano. That's this arrow, right? He turned Rav Yossi into Rav Chia. What? I'm reading Lamed Vav. I'm not. Lamed Zayin was yes and yes. Here we're talking yes and no, meaning afterwards you kept it clean. Only beforehand you were not sure.
Is this so much as Rabbeinu Hanano that both the Rambam and the Rosh both not Paskin like the other Rishonim, therefore the Rosh didn't Paskin?
Correct. I'm just saying why they themselves were afraid to Paskin like themselves.
Well, the Rambam and the Rosh.
Right, the Rashba himself, not the Rambam the Rosh, the Rashba himself is afraid to paskin like himself. That means even the Rashba wouldn't paskin like himself. Kol shekein the Shulchan Aruch. Right, that's what I meant to say. Right, the fact, Shulchan Aruch anyway could have gone like the Rambam and the Rosh. But even the Rashba himself was nervous to go against Rabbeinu Hanano. We have this in a few places in Shas, they're nervous to go against Rabbeinu Hanano. Now, what was the last thing I was going to point out? The continuation. The Davka Be'ed Beinani. What's called an Eichin Ubaduk? Where it's a machlokas Rishonim and we're Macher. Davka Be'ed Beinani. The Hainu She'en Chazka. By the way, nowadays, it's pretty rare to have this Shaila anyway. What would we say nowadays, by the way? We'd say that you can't be told of something more than a gris because we pass like the Machmer Rishonim. And even less than a gris, you can't be told because we don't have likes anymore. So we'd be Machmer no matter what the size. But it's not so common nowadays because when women check themselves with an aid, they don't just use a rag from someplace. They buy special vedika cloths, which are like manufactured to be specially clean and are sealed in a sealed package so they can't get dirty. So that's called an etabadik cloth. That's she knows it's clean before she does a vedika. She doesn't have to look at it. She knows it's clean before she does a vedika because they're made in a factory and then they're sealed to make sure they stay clean. However, this is from the Rashba and the Ritva. The Rashba and the Ritva, not everyone agrees. The Ramban is more Mako. What's called an Eichin Ubaduk? The Ramban says anything is called an Eichin Ubaduk unless you just checked it right now. We don't assume that. We assume there's such thing as Cheskas Ubaduk. What do we assume? We assume there's three levels of aid. There is Cheskas baduk. Chezkaso baduk means that you know it was clean, right? And you left it in a safe place, right? Equals, it was clean, and then in a safe place. What is a beinani mean? Equals eino baduk. And h eino baduk means you don't know anything. And then there is chezkaso meluchlach. Chezkaso meluchlach means that it was in a place where, what's the lashon here? Mimakam shedoyim mitsuyim sham, where it is likely to get dirty. Okay. Again, as far as Avon, this is pretty rare nowadays. I've never gotten any shiloh, I've heard of any case of any of these seifim. Really, a woman did a bedikah with the Ichinobadah? Give me a break. Either she buys bedikah cloths in the pharmacy or the mikvah or the wherever else they sell them. And they come sealed in a package that they're all clean from the factory, certified clean from the factory. Or, let's say she uses a random piece of white cloth, she'll look at it first to make sure it's clean before she does a bedikah. That's what a normal person would do, right? So it's pretty rare to have these. When will these come up? We'll see later on when it comes to Ksamim. But what is the Shulchan Aruch saying? Chezkaso baduk means that if there's dam on an aid bedika. If there's dam on an aid bedika, if it's chezkaso baduk, then she is tamea. If it's chezkaso meluchlach, she's tahora. Meaning, if it's like mamish was in a hefker place, she takes an aid that was, you know, mamish, I don't know, lying around where, lying around in the kitchen counter, you know, where all kinds of different colors spill on it. Okay, then she's tahora. Then she can assume it was dirty beforehand. When is the machlokas rishonim? The machlokas rishonim. That's not in the Mechaber. The Machlokas Rishonim, that's Mukhra in the Mechaber, it's Iflam and Vav, is an Eid Beinani. She doesn't know necessarily that it was clean at any particular time, but she also has, it wasn't particularly around dirt. That's called Eid Beinani. She never checked that it was clean. Not now, not a week ago, not a month ago. She's not sure it was ever clean, but on the other hand, it was not around dirt. Okay, that's a bane. She doesn't know that it was once clean, or she doesn't know that it was once clean in a safe place since then. She also doesn't know that it was around dirt. That is an a bane. Okay, we'll see. These will be more nafkamin lahalachat lamed tes when we get to Ksamim. Let's go to lamed zayin then. Lamed zayin. I would just say, add that the Taz in Sivkot and Chav Hei says that. Lokha min hashuk, and you don't know where it came from, or Eid Hamizdam in law, that is considered chazkasa meluchlach. If you just picked something up from lying around stam, not from a closet, not from a normal place, just lying around, or from the shuk, that is considered meluchlach. Okay, place where it's likely to get dirty, like lying around.
I apologize if it's already said, but why is it good enough if it's dirty as opposed to other tolios where it has to?
No, because the assumption is where things can get dirty, they can get red dirt as well.
I mean, it didn't have to be found in a butcher house, a slaughterhouse, in order for us to be told that she's dirty. Meaning, just being around, it doesn't have to be a place.
Yeah, because the assumption is if it's around some place where no one could only get blue, then that wouldn't help. The assumption, if it's around some place where it can get dirty, it can get dirty of all colors. There's plenty of red things lying around. That's the assumption. But you're right, then Sias would have to be someplace where it couldn't get red, but like, there's a lot of red in the world, right? Keep in mind, there's, I don't know, red foods. There's red, you know, there's people have nosebleeds all the time. I don't know. There's, what else is red? There's makeup. That's red. That can make things dirty, right? There's a lot of things that are red.
Do this apply to our discussion Sunday about having to check whether it's really obvious that it's not done?
Right. So if it's if you know it's not done, if you know, I mean, if you know, then you know. But the assumption is, if you leave things stop lying around, then it could, you know, again, the question, what's lying around? I don't know. If I had a towel in my kitchen, for example, I would not be surprised to find a red stain on it. Right? That would be a mistabber thing. If I had a towel in my kitchen, it would be a mistabber that would have a red stain on it. That would not bother me at all. That would be cheskasa meluchlach. I think that would be called cheskasa meluchlach. If I had a, you know, I know you go to the Hasidic shtibel, right? And they always save the environment there. So instead of paper towels, they have like that towel that goes around on the roll.
It's always wet.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to find every color there. That's cheskasa meluchlach. Okay. That's cheskasa meluchlach. Okay. Lamed Zayin. Lamed Zayin is what I said if there's a possible contamination beforehand and afterwards. This is the only case that's not discussed in the Gemara. Bod gatzma be'ichin o bodiklo vitachta v'yrecha. It was ain't nobody before she checked, meaning this in-between category, and she checked and then afterwards pressed it against her thigh and then found blood on it. So there's two possible contaminations. V'acharkach nimtza lav dam, afilu kigris ve'od tahora. Even if it's a large amount of dam, she is tahora. So there's two possible contaminations. What rule do you think the mechaber is using here? What rule would you guess he's using here? Sveik. Maybe it was dirty beforehand, or maybe it got dirty afterwards. And for sure, if she put it afterwards someplace where there's a tliya, then obviously that's a good sveik. However, if she put it someplace where it's unlikely to be dam, then it is tmeya if it is more than a gris, meaning there's no sveik sveika. More than a gris is mutter only because of the contamination beforehand, less than a gris. Right? So basically, what's the kula here? In Lamed Vav, we paskin in the old days, less than a gris is tahor. In Lamed Zayin, we're saying even more than a gris is tahor if you have two possible contaminations. Sveik sveika. Who was mechadish this? If it's not in the Gemara, which Rishon was mechadish this, Isaac? Rashi. Rashi says, how can the Gemara mention the Echino Baduk? And separately mentions, she checked, and Tachtav Yirecha, but never combines Echino Baduk and Tachtav Yirecha. Tachtav Yirecha. The answer is, because that would be a Sveik Sveika. And seemingly what Rashi is saying is that would be mutter. That's the way Rashi generally understood. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says mutter. However, the Shach goes to town here arguing on the Shulchan Aruch and says absolutely, positively, no chance, 100% wrong. Why? So he has two tainas why it's not true. Basically, he has one logic why it's not true and two ways to explain why Rashi didn't say it. What's his logical reason why it's not true? It's exactly, or what they call in more technical Siman Kuf Yud language, Sveik Sveika, Mishem Echad. He says, a Sveik Sveika has to be two different categories of Suffolk. Over here, it's Sveik Sveika, Mishem Echad. What's this Sveik Sveika? Maybe it wasn't Damnida that came beforehand. Maybe it wasn't Damnida that came afterwards. Those are really the same question. Maybe it wasn't Damnida, maybe it wasn't Damnida. That doesn't count as two sveikos. The two sveikos have to be different. Like, classic example. Would anyone ever say, now it's Tuesday, maybe it's not Damnida, it got dirty on Sunday. Or maybe it's not Damnida, it got dirty on Monday. So maybe it got dirty on Sunday, maybe not. Even if not, maybe it got dirty on Monday, maybe not. No, that's the same suffix. You're just artificially calling it two things. But it's one suffix. Like with your, it's one suffix. Was it from the Makor, or was it from someplace else? So he says, Sveik Sveik Mishem Echad, he wrote the Kol Sveik Sveik in Siman Kuf Yud. He's very stark on answering Sveik Sveik Mishem Echad. You should know all the things he posits in Siman Kuf Yud. There are other Rishonim and Achronim who say it is a valid Sveik Sveika. Meaning, there's no, it's not Mukhrich that Rashi and that the Mechaber have to agree that you're not allowed to make a Sveik Sveik Mishem Echad just because the Shach wrote in Kol Sveik Sveika. But the Shach assumes can't be, it's Sveik Sveik Mishem Echad. Our Rashi said it. So he said Rashi didn't say it. He has two other possibilities. He has two possibilities why Rashi didn't say it. Number one, he says, maybe Rashi didn't mean she's mutter, muteres, because of this case. He just meant, even Rebbe would admit, that it goes down to the level of Tumas Kesem. He didn't mean she's muteres. He just meant it's not vadai from her. Because if you look in the Lashon of Rashi, he just says the Gemara didn't use this case because of the double suffix. Who says that means mutter? Maybe because then it wouldn't be machlokas Rebbe nor Chia, and everyone would agree that it's only kesem. And number two, his better shot is because Rashi's lishitase. What was Rashi's gear? So I pointed out, not a love, but a lawa. Rashi says she found on the yarech. That's a good sveika. Why is it a good sveika? Here you have to read the shas kolis sveika, which maybe you did once in a previous smicha requirement. That's a good sveika. She found it on her thigh. Maybe it was. Maybe if she found it on her thigh, maybe it came from the aid, maybe it didn't. And even if it came from the aid, maybe it was from her mokar, or maybe the aid was dirty beforehand. Then that's a good sveika. However, if she found it on the aid, Rashi would never have made a sveika. The reason being that even though on the thigh it's also mishem echad, maybe it came from the mokar, maybe it didn't, you're allowed to make a sveika mishem echad if there's no way to connect the phenomenon to the oser without two steps. Since you can't get the thigh connected to the mukkah without two steps, then, assuming it's on the outside of her thigh, right? That would be the assumption where it couldn't have fallen from the mukkah. Therefore, okay, lemaisa, he says, he has two reasons why Rashi didn't necessarily mean it, and it's against the rules of the Shev Echad, so we pass like the Shach, that it is oser against the Mechaber. Again, not that it's likely to ever happen. She finds on the outside of her thigh. Maybe it got to the thigh from the cloth, maybe it didn't. And even if it got to the thigh from the cloth, maybe it got to the cloth from the makor, or maybe the cloth was dirty beforehand. That's a sveik-sveika. That's a valid sveik-sveika. Again, why is it a valid sveik-sveika? Because you're allowed to make a sveik-sveika mishem echad when there's 2 degrees of separation between the facts and the potential isser. Here, there's 2 degrees of separation between blood on the thigh and the makor. As opposed to the Shulchan Aruch's case, there's only 1 degree of separation between the aid and the makor. Okay, getting to close to the sikh, Allah Almighty, we pass against the Mechaber. Lamed Ches. Ezo Eid Abaduk. What's called Eid Baduk? What's called an Eid Baduk? Kol Shevedakto Beini Bein Chaverta. If someone checked it, whether her or her friend, V'lo Noda Shenechtam Bo Kesem. And we don't know, it was checked once, and we don't know it got dirty afterwards. She didn't bring it in a dirty place afterwards. She didn't bring it next to the people who work with Ksamim afterwards. Right, this, the Rashba quotes, is a machlokes. He quotes a Yesh Omrim, which really seems like the Ramban, who says, nope, if she didn't check it right now, it's called Eino Baduk. We don't pass that way. Because if it was clean and then in a safe place, even if she checked it a month ago or 3 months ago, that's called an Eid HaBadukla. That's called an Eid HaBadukla. If you check something and put it in a closet, that's an Eid Baduk when you take it out of the closet. Even though you might have checked it a month ago. That's the Maskan of the Rashba. That's how we paskin in Lamed Ches. Let us go now to Lamed Tes. Lamed Tes leaves the realm of Bedikos and goes back to Ksamen, which is the main topic of our Simen, and the rest is going to be back all about Ketamim. Says the Mechaber, Ein Isha Tmeim Shem Ketem Shematza B'chaluka Elam Kein Hoya Badek L'Kodem Shalavashto. All the things we said about Kesem, it's only a problem if it was what they call Chaluk HaBadek. If the clothing was known to be clean beforehand. Avalam Eidu Badek Kodem Shalavashto, but if she wore clothing and she doesn't know if it was clean, Olavashto Vlobadika, and she didn't check it when she put it on, Umatzavo Kesem Tahora, Kesem is only a problem on Baduk clothing. Remember, we paskind like the Rambam, and the Rush, and the Ravid, and the Rabbeinu Hananel, that, because I don't know how the Rabbeinu Hananel paskind, but he must paskind Sasser, because he holds a no sheet of mutter. That in an aching of baduk, she's still tmeya. But in a chaluk sheen of baduk, a kesem, and clothing that wasn't baduk, she's okay. So let's say she wore, she put on white shoes without checking them. I don't know what the odds are. Okay. A little unclear. She put on her white shoes without checking them first. And then she walked around and she found on her big toe, right? That's the place that for sure is a problem.
on her big toe a red stain, then, I mean, how she can clean it is her problem. But in terms of halacha, then it's no problem. Oh, she found a kesem on a place where it could have landed from Osa Makom, right, before they minted underwear, etc. No problem, because we don't know if it was stained before she put it on or not. Well, we know it could have been stained before she put it on. That's the kula of Cholok Sheino Baduk. And here we have a tremendous machlok in the Taz and the Bach. In this very long Taz, Sifkatan Chavtes. What's the machlok in the Taz and the Bach? How does this fit in to what we said here? Remember what we said here. Cheskoso Baduk and A, there's no room to be Mako. A Bainini is a machlokas Rishonim and the Kule Alma, right? Tole Bipachos Mikigris in the old days, right? Everyone agrees, Pachos Mikigris, and then A Bainini, you could be told in a Dika in the old days. That was over there on the board. And then there's Molochloch. What type of kesem are we making on? So, says the Taz, let's see if found kesem on a beged. They always call it a cholok. Cholok just means a dress. Okay. So if it was baduk, then she's for sure tomato. That's obvious. If it was baduk, she's for sure tomato. That's what it says. If the cholok was baduk, she checked her clothes and put it on, and she found the stain on it, that's a problem with ksamin. If it was cheskasa molochloch, she took it from a dirty place, meaning this was an old clothing that had been, you know, all around all kinds of places, to butchers and to this and that, etc., etc., then obviously she's tahora. What about this middle category? What about the eight bainini? So, says the, how would you read this? What would you think we would say about eight bainini? Based on the Pashup Shad and the Machaber. What about the in-between category? It's the horror. Why? Because he says only if it's Baduk law. And in Lamed Ches, he says, what is Baduk? Only if someone checked it and left it in a safe place, right? So the Pshad of the Machaber is Pashtos of the Machaber, and that's the opinion of the Bach, is Tahora. Ah, when it comes to Eid Bedika, it's a machlokes Rishonim and we're machmir. If it's more than kigris va'od, yeah, that's an eight. But here's ksamim. By ksamim we're mekel, and in any size, tahora, afilu yoser mikigris. Right? By ksamim, you don't need a kula to be mitami mitar less than kigris. Any amount, if it's an eight bainani, you are mekel. That's the opinion of the Bach, and the that's the opinion of the Bach, and that seems to be Pshat in the Mechaber. The Tazers of Kut and Chavtes argues, and the Rishonim are not clear on it. The Rishonim are not clear. They're all like Mdukim in the Rivet, says the Taz. He says Tmeya. He says, no, the Rashba was only meant to be Mekel. The Rashba only meant to be Mekel, right, in Cheskasa Molochloch. In Stam, something that's been around the shuk all over. But in something that doesn't have a chazaka either way, we are machmir. Why would we be machmir? So the Taz says, just like, because we paskin l'chumr, that machlok is rishonim. So tmeya be yoser mikigris. The Taz says, we are machmir because we treat ksamim the same as vidikos. Just like in vidika, in an in-between category, in an eight bainani, we're machmir. It's not chlok shoshana, but we paskin l'chumra. Likewise, in a kesem, we paskin l'chumra. In the Bach, Pashtun Chaber says, no, in kesem, we're super mekel. Kesem, we're more mekel than vidika. Therefore, in kesem, we paskin l'kula. Okay, this could be a big nafkamina. What if, because usually bedika, this never comes up. People use clean bedika cloth, they don't leave them to get contaminated. But some of you can find it anything. So what if a woman finds a kesem on something that was like a vada dirty, been all over the place? Okay, no problem. If she finds a kesem on something that's a vada clean, no problem. What if she finds kesem on clothing that we're not sure if it was dirty or clean? Right? We're not sure if it was dirty or clean. Then, on in-between clothing, then the taz is machmir. And he says, just like we paskin like the Rambam, the Raivin, and the Rosh, and Rebbe Chananel, that Eid Sheino Baduk, we're Machmer, likewise, Cholok Sheino Baduk, we're Machmer, in the in-between category. But the Pshat and the Mechaber, clearly, and the Bach, is to be Mako. How do we paskin on this? The Torah Sashlamim here agrees with the Taz. If you look in the Torah Sashlamim, Sifkatan Lamed Ches, Elam Kein Hoye Badaklov, Afilo E Bainani, Shemavur Le Elbasif Lamed Vav, Gamke Mikri Badak Linin Kesem, Yeshbo Kagrisva Ode. Even a Bainani is considered Badak is Machmir, that the Torah Sashlamim agrees with the Taz. Okay, we don't have a lot of room, but we'll stick in here. Torah Sashlamim agrees with the Taz. A Bainani is Osir. Meaning, Cholok Bainani, Beged Bainani is Osir. However, all the other Achronim agree with the Bach. If you look, for example, here at the Rabbi Kiva Eger, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, on this Taz, he says, Kol Diri Taz Him Tumuin Bazeh. Everything the Taz says is ridiculous. Aval Ha'ikr Iker Ka Bach. V'lazeh Hiskim Et Teferes L'Moshe. Right, so here we have the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Teferes L'Moshe, and all the later Achronim agree with the Bach against the Taz, like Pashas the Mechaber. We paskin against the Taz like the Bach, meaning what do we paskin? We paskin that Ksumim are, all, as usual, more kal than medikos. If you have a beged bainani, something which is not checked and not for sure exposed to dirt, not for sure left around places where, there dirt, where there's red dirt, to take Elon's power to go. Not for sure left in places where there's red dirt, and not for sure checked, just you don't know anything, then by Kesem or Mako.
So the Taz thought he was agreeing with the Mechaber?
He says, V'chein nami kavona shulchan aruch. He thinks he's agreeing with the Mechaber. He said the kavona shulchan aruch is like me. V'chein nami kavona shulchan aruch kan. That's what the Taz says. The Taz read, unless it was Badukla, and by Badukla means, it's a little tricky. He likes to say, by ain't of Badukla, he means for sure Meluchlach, you know, left someplace dirty. He doesn't explain Elam Kinoge Badukla, but he thinks that he's going to say, that. What does he mean? 1 second. Lchor Kasha Din Hadad, he says it's a little difficult. What does he mean then in the beginning by Badukla? The Seifa Amr, etc. Nire Badukla, not Badko. So he says the Mechaber doesn't say only if she checked it. If it was Badukla, Badukla means like it seems checked to her. It's like vanity. Now you can say to me you think the Taz's shot in the Mechaber is crazy, but the Taz thinks he can stick this into the Mechaber. He knows it's Dachuk, but he wants to stick it into the Mechaber. Yes, he wants to say what the Mechaber meant by Badukla is not the same as Eid HaBaduk beforehand. Baduk law means it seems Baduk to her, more or less. Okay. Halacha L'maisa, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us? What is our regular clothing? Is our regular clothing Baduk, the middle, or dirty? What's our stam clothing? What's an afkamina? If our stam clothing is Baduk, then there some will apply to us. If our stam clothing is in between, then since we paskin like the Bach and the Pshat of the Mechaber against the Taz and the Taz is strange Pshat of the Mechaber, then there's no problem with Summit for us unless you check it first. Right? Does your wife, after doing laundry, does she check all the clothing to see if it has stains or not? I don't think so. I think she just takes it out of the dryer and puts it away. Folds it up and puts it away. She doesn't check it. So what's our Stam laundry? So what's our stam laundry? The truth is, this comes up a little later. There is a sif of laundering.
Like a principle that you know, Yisrael are...
Yes.
Their clothes and their friends' clothes.
There is a principle that they check their clothes and their friends' clothes. On the other hand, we know no one checks their clothes nowadays. So so it should not be said that we ignore the special nature of the day. There's an important gadol who lived, you know, over 200 and change years ago, who was freed from prison today, and wrote a very important halachic work called the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is in Hilchos Shabbos, is very important, Hilchos Brach is very important. He didn't cover all the halachot in Shulchan Aruch, but whenever he wrote, he was a very, very big posek. So in honor of the very, very special holiday celebrating a big posik, we should see what he has to say about this, I think. So he discusses this twice in his... it's actually... he wrote the Shulchan Aruch Rav and Hilchas Nida a little differently than he wrote it on the other areas of Shulchan Aruch, on Or Chaim, which I'm not holding now. You know, on Or Chaim, how do you write the Shulchan Aruch Rav? He just like wrote a Shulchan Aruch. You know, but his own Shulchan Aruch, not the Rabbi Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch. On Yoredeya, he only wrote on some parts of Yoredeya, and at the very least in Hilchas Nida and Hilchas Shechita, he wrote a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, like, here's the Shulchan Aruch, here's the Machaber and the Ramah, and then he wrote a Pirush. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav and Hilchas Nida is not like on most of Shulchan Aruch, it's just a Pirush on the Machaber Ramah, more like the Shach and Taz and everyone else. Anyway, so what does he write here? He discusses our laundry twice. Once he says that, based on, this really comes up later on in the Siman, but then it would be the wrong day. So once he says that, the truth is, it's once something comes out of the laundry, even if you don't check it for stains, the old stains are very faded. And if you see a fresh stain, then you know it's bothered from fresh stains because all the old stains are faded. Right? So number one, he says all the old stains are faded. That he says in Sivkot Nayin Vav, in Sivkot Tzadi Gimel, and that's found in the Shulchan Aruch later on. He says a Chiddush, which is not found in the Shulchan Aruch later on, although he found it in the Rishonim. He says, Adram Yishlomer Bizman Hazeh, Afilin Iskavis Al Yinokhur, so Yishel Shul Doctor, this is Sivkot Tzadi Gimel, 93. Cheskoshoshin Iskavis, Lefisha Bizman Hazeh, Mechapsim Heitev. Nowadays, our laundry is better. Right? Nowadays, our laundry is very good, our laundry, right? We have washing machines and detergents and all kinds of things. And the Gemara is talking about kibbutz kal, not kibbutz gomer v'tov, but then he brings a right from Tosos. Okay, yesh ladan, what's our laundry compared to their laundry? But says the Shulchan Arav, nowadays our laundry is good, therefore we assume that any clothes that comes out of the laundry is baduk. Right? He says, number one, it's Sukkot Nayin Vav, based on the Shulchan Arav later. Even if a stain stays through the laundry, it'll be faded. And number two, in Sivkot Tzadi Gimel, he says, and in any case, our laundry is very good, so it really gets rid of stains pretty well. I mean, if there's anything left, it'll be very faded. So the Maisa, we assume, like the Shulchan Aruch Rav and like many other Achronim, who we'll mention when it's their day. But the Maisa, we assume that whatever comes out of the laundry nowadays is called Chezkas Obaduk. If you take something out of the laundry, and then you leave it in normal places where you leave clothing, like closets and, you know, and shelves and things like that. I don't mean if you take it out of the laundry and then bring it, you know, to the butcher shop or the slaughterhouse, etc. But normal laundry, basically any normal clothing you find in your house nowadays that came out of the laundry, that's cheskas baduk, and that's why we keep the laws of ksamim nowadays. Because our clothing from the laundry is cheskas baduk. Now, something that did not come straight out of the laundry might not have an issur of ksamim, right? Let's say it didn't come straight out of the laundry, you don't know where it's been, exactly, then it wouldn't necessarily have an issur of ksamim. But something that came from the laundry, or it came from the shelf in the laundry, etc., then there's, you know, for example, it would be a really weird example now that we invented underwear, like, you know, on your coat, so that would be cheskas meluchlach, you wear your coat in the street and all kinds of things get splashed on it. Again, not that you ever have shaylus of ksamim on a coat nowadays. Lemaisa, all of our clothing we assume is in this category, so it's not subject to the machlokas taz and bach. And if you find a kesem, it is a potential isser of ksamen because it has kasso baduk from the laundry.
Even though I assume the Shulchan Aruch didn't have laundry machines in his days, what is it about the laundry in his days that would have made it so much better in the times of?
So apparently, he really thinks even in times of Chazal there were different darbas of laundry. And maybe they were not talking about the highest darga of laundry in the sugya. So it's not clear, but all the posts right nowadays, it's like, right. You know, it's a slam dunk.
By Hilchos Avilas, people point out that tearing Kriya was a much bigger deal because they only had like one garment. So it seems like some wouldn't apply like Bechlal back in the day, wouldn't it? Like, if they only had one beged, wouldn't it be getting dirty, you know, if it was never being washed?
No, but they won't beg it. They would check it once and then keep wearing it forever. And if they know that... I mean, the truth is,
it would be pretty rare, because let's say they had one, you know when they would have ksamim? No, it's like this. If they checked it when they put it on in the morning, and then took it off 3 hours later, or 3 hours later find a kesem, and no, they didn't go to the shlacht house meanwhile, then they would have ksamim.
But once they got one kesem, then their bag was considered dirty, and how long would it be until they washed it, like next time?
No, but maybe, the truth is it all depends how much they used to check. Like, you could check and no, there's no other kesem but this. So the lemaisa, it's a good question. I think in their days, they would take the Shulchan Aruch more literally, right? But it could be that they used to check their clothing before they put it on in the old days. I have no idea. It's a good question. I have no idea.
Wouldn't this be only right, like, you just said, like, after 3 hours? Like, in those 3 hours, people walk around and... You said red is everywhere.
Called Kvod Mas Melech Panima. What do you mean, Choshe, that she would leave her house? Once a month, the Rambam says. Okay, so therefore, that answers Jacob's question. Okay, if you leave your house once a month, then, then you probably didn't get it dirty.
Would you pull out all types of things, like if you know she has infestation of bed bugs or something around her house, or clothing might also have bugs on her also?
Oh, if she has bed bugs, then the Tormus takes the place of Gris for everything we've said, then she has lots of tlius.
And
even as much as that.
But is her clothing considered the chaskas meluchlach?
No, because keep in mind, the bed bugs is only a problem if you wear the clothing. There are no bed bugs in the washing machine. And there are no bed bugs.
They actually die in the washing machine.
Okay. By the time you take it out of the laundry, it doesn't have bed bugs. Or at least it doesn't have blood of bed bugs. And when you put it on the shelf, even if bed bugs crawl across your shelves, it doesn't matter. They don't get squished there. Right? It's only when you wear them they get squished. So, but nonetheless, I mean...
You were sliding your clothing around the...
Nah, that's not going to crush a bug. It takes force to crush a bug. You never killed a bug?
You're wearing your clothing? What force?
Yeah, because you sit and you would roll and you... Okay. When I sit down, I can crush a bug.
So then you shouldn't be able to pull anything on chest?
When I lay down on my bed. You know?
If you lay down.
Or whatever, if I put on my knapsack or whatever. I mean, it's easy enough to crush a bug. Okay. Mem. Now, Mem, really... From Mem till pretty much the end, except for the very, very last Seif, is all about two women who, I know, they came up once, but sort of as an Agav Orcha, the two women, right? Remember, we had the whole Machlokas Shach and Taz, about Shnei Shvilin, but about two women who share a garment or bed or bench or whatever it may be, and we're not sure which them was from. Mem is the Shmizi case. What do we see in Mem? Bodkat chaluka upashato. She checked her garment. She put it on. She took it off. Umatzah tahora. And it was still tahor. Meaning, one woman had a chalaka baduk, took it off, and checked it, and it was clean. Vishila chaberta, and then lent it to her friend. Velovsha, and then the second woman wore it. Umatzah kasem, found the kasem. Then this is like Shmizi. Rachel wore it and checked it, it was clean. Then gave it to Leah. Leah wore it and found the kesem. Obviously, the kesem is from Leah, not Rachel, because Rachel checked it in between. Her Rishon HaTorah, Vashniyat Tameya. That's Pashat. The Achronim here go to town with, you know, why do we need to say this? And, more specifically, why do we have to say she was Budka beforehand? If Rachel hadn't been Budka beforehand, the rule would be exactly the same. Rachel's Tahorah, because Rachel checked it before she gave it to Leah. So, okay. There's a million pshatim in the Achronim here. Lemaisa, what we will do for now is we will say, if you're interested, you could see the Shach and the Taz, and even, the Shach and the Taz, why it's necessary to add that Rachel checked it beforehand.
Wouldn't that fall under what we just spoke about the laundry?
No, because she checked it when she took it off, so it was bothered when she gave it to Leah. Right, I mean, Rachel took it off and checked and it was clean, and then gave it to Leah, and Leah found the kesem. Avada Leah's Tameah. Avada Rachel's Tahora. Because it was clean when she took it off. So who cares what happened until then? Right? So, okay, here, it's just a matter of diukim. Here you have different... Well, it's not just a matter of diukim. The Taz makes a big chiddush. The Taz learns a chiddush. Okay, well, a chiddush in this machaber. You know why he had to say Rachel checked it beforehand? Because if Rachel hadn't checked it beforehand, it would be a chaluk sheino baduk. And then Rachel would be okay no matter what. If Rachel was okay no matter what, when she took it off and checked it, she wouldn't have checked carefully. If she didn't check it when she put it on, she wouldn't have checked carefully when she took it off. if she didn't check carefully when she took it off, it's not a cholak habaduk, and now Leah's tahora. It's a lot of psychological assumptions. If Rachel didn't check it when she put it on, we don't believe her that she checked it when she took it off. And therefore, Leah's tahora. Okay, that's a big chiddush, really? Anyone who says I checked something, but if it didn't make a big difference, if it didn't make a halachic difference, then we don't trust them to check it? I don't know, maybe they're just like clean people. So that's the Taz. He makes a big chiddush. He says we don't trust Rachel's check when she takes it off if she hadn't checked it when she put it on. Because no nafgamina. That's a big chiddush. We don't pass like that. Say no, someone says they checked it, we trust them. I don't care if it makes a nafgamina for them. And therefore, the Shach gives other pshatim as to why it says this. And the simple pshat is what he says in the beginning. Then he quotes a strange prisha. The prisha says Rachel didn't really check it when she took it off, and that's very strange. Because then why is Rachel tahora if she didn't check when she took it off? She checked herself when she took it off. Okay, but that's not so clear. Just she checked herself when she took it off and she was tahora. It doesn't mean she didn't bleed 3 hours ago. Lamaisa we pass like the Shach. You know why? Not for any reason. Just because like the implication is that if Rachel had found the kesem when she took it off, she'd be tmeah. And that implication is only true if she checked it before she put it on. So that's also a little dachuk. Why do we have to say she checked it before she put it on for an implication that it doesn't say? Lemaisa, we're not sure exactly why it says she checked it before she put it on, but whatever it is, we don't derive any nafgaminas from it, so we don't have to know the answer for halacha lemaisa. Mem Aleph really continues into, segue straight into the rest of the simon, so I think we'll stop now. I'd like to try to finish the simon on Sunday. I'm not making any nedarim. Because I have to, on Sunday and Tuesday next week, we have to end, make sure to end shiur a little before on time, because I have to go home and do a big mitzvah. And next Tuesday, I think we're not going to have Maris Glory David, because of Hanukkah, the whole schedule is different, we'll take a week off. Next Sunday, I'd like to try to, I think it's possible, to finish the simon, or at least get close to finishing the simon. And then next Tuesday, we will start simon kof tzadi aleph.
Are we
going to
have shiur at the beginning of Seder?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Next week, shiur will be 2 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock. It will be after mincha. Meaning, if you want to make the chakira, is shiur at 3 o'clock or is shiur after mincha? The answer to the chakira is that shiur is after mincha. What's the nafkamina of the chakira? The nafkamina of the chakira is Hanukkah time when mincha is at 1:45.
There's a thinner nafkamina every time mincha ends at
3:03. Okay. But half the guys come a few minutes late anyway. So that's not such a good nafkamina. Right? There's a problem with your nafkamina. My nafkamina is better. Anyway, so yeah, please do remember, don't come at 3 o'clock. You'll miss most of shiur next week. Come at 2 o'clock next week. And we will continue.